Good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for joining this Keeping It Real with Key session for P3. Tonight we're talking about Ayurveda. What's the topic? Your future with Ayurveda. So for those of you, if you don't already know, I am an Ayurvedic nutritionist and chef. Ayurveda is a whole mind, body, spirit way of healing and living. It's an ancient Indian science that's over 10,000 years old that has been practiced constantly and consistently. It is a sister science to yoga and to traditional Chinese medicine. And as I said, it is a holistic way of healing that takes into account not just the body as the sum of its parts, but everything that affects the body, which is the mind and the spirit within. It looks at the world around you, how you live in the world, and how you allow the world to live in you and create illness and or wellness. Ayurveda gives full control to the person rather than blaming exterior circumstances, which means also that you don't have control of what's happening to you. I find it quite empowering. I've found it over the years. I grew up in it, and I have found it over the years to be very not only empowering, but it gives me a sense of comfort knowing that I am in control. As long as I am making an effort to think the thoughts that bring me joy, eat the foods that support my longevity, and do all the things, do as or as not, you know, not all, but as many of the things as possible that connect, that will extend my longevity or create a strong longevity. I found Ayurveda to be very supportive of that. So some things to remember moving forward about Ayurveda, that it divides the five elements. So the five elements of the universe are earth, ether, air, space, sorry, earth, water, fire, air, and space. And everything in the universe is made up of this. Everything from yourself to your cells, to your dog, to blades of grass, everything of nature is made up of earth, ether, air, water, and fire. And it's the five elements. And Ayurveda divides these five elements into three major categories. The first category is called the, and so these categories have their names, and we refer to their energies as doshas, DOSHA. So the first dosha is the Vata dosha, that's spelt Vata, but it's pronounced Vata, not Vata. It's pronounced Vaata, but it's written Vata. And so the Vata dosha is the keeper of the air and space energy. What's important to know about this is that it rules digestion. It rules the third half of life, which most of us are in. So 60 and over is the Vata time of life. It also rules menopause. It is responsible. Its qualities are dry, rough, brittle, flighty when out of balance. It does not respond well to chaos and lack of routine, but it does respond well to when it's in good balance. It responds well to routine and flow. It doesn't respond well to things like high intensity workouts, but it responds well to Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, walking, swimming, cycling, fluid motions, things that allow it to flow Just like when you think about the breeze, when a breeze is an absolute chaos, it you know, when there's like a mini whirlwind and leaves and branches and all kinds of things are blowing up in the wind, you could think of that as the Vata dosha being out of balance. But when it's in balance, when it's been balanced, it's smooth, it's flowing, it's a beautiful breeze on the night air. So some of the I got to pause for one quick sec. So to keep your Vata dosha in balance, how do you know if it's out of balance? If you have dry, cracking skin, if you have digestive issues, so acid reflux, SIBO, GERD, the motion, as you know, for digestion is going down. Right? You put something in your mouth and it goes down through the system and comes out your anus. If anything is coming up, whether it's acid, gas, vomiting, that means that energy of air and space is out of balance. The quickest way to bring it back is to implement routine and structure into your life. Food-wise, the Vata dosha loves moisture, moist, sweet, because it is naturally dry and brittle and harsh. So opposites attract. So it likes to balance it. We bring moisture. We bring monounsaturated fats like avocados and olives or olive oil, using a little coconut oil or some ghee in your food. It loves softer foods, not oily, but if you're going to eat something dry and rough, like say kale or cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, by nature, those are dry and rougher foods. So you would put them in like a casserole or a stew or a soup or in a beautiful salad dressing that has some oil in it. The Vata dosha also likes sweet foods, but not sweet as in sugar. Sweet as in sweet potatoes, dates, ripe fruits. I have noticed for my clients who are in menopause, if they follow a Vata dosha balancing meal plan, that most of their symptoms go. So that's a small version of the Vata dosha. How do you know if you which So each of us have our own energy. So mine is the next one, which is Kapha, Kapha. The Kapha dosha is the qualities are grounding because the elements are earth and water. So heavy, sturdy, grounding. The qualities, the facial qualities look like me. Big eyes, and you know, you could have a bit of oily hair, big bone structure, a little bit of oiliness in your face. Whereas the Vata dosha people are small in frame, generally. Their eyes are smaller. They tend to be more slender in general. Like my eyes are round. Whereas somebody who is more Vata dominant, her eyes will be a little bit more, will be a little smaller, a little bit more slanted. And then the frame of the person is just more slender, more slight, smaller bone structure. So Kapha dosha, the earth and water elements. People who are like me, who are more Kapha dosha dominant, for us, it's very easy to put on weight. You only have to blink and you'll put on weight. It's easy to put on weight. It's very difficult to lose it. People who have more of the Kapha dosha energy tend to be loyal, dependable people who, if their dosha is out of balance, can become very lethargic, depressed, almost lazy. But when the dosha is balanced, when everything is going well, they are productive. And I won't, energetic is not the right word, very independent people. The kapha dosha, when it's out of balance, you want to bring, it already is because of the earth, which has natural oils in it. The earth element and the water element, both very both are heavy elements. So to balance out the kapha, we want to have light foods, keeping away from the sweet and the fried, heavy casseroles and so on, and favor more of the lighter foods like salads, smaller portions, plant whole foods, plant-based works really well for the kapha dosha. Sorry, I'm trying to think if there was anything more important about that. Small meals eaten, more fruits and vegetables overall, spicy, astringent, pungent, those kind of tastes. The last dosha is the pitta dosha, which is the fire. Pitta literally means fire. Those people look like Antonetta. All of you know who she is. Short, little bit stocky, square frame, high energy all the time. The pitta dosha, those people need to stay away from the heat, from spicy food. And I don't mean avoid it. I mean, reduce it to keep their energies in balance, cooling foods. So using herbs and spices, but not chilies, when they're in the hot weather, staying out of the direct sun. The pitta dosha is responsible for inflammation in the body. Anything ending in the word itis is a pitta dosha imbalance. That means there is too much fire. That also includes, for anybody going through menopause, night sweats and hot flashes, insomnia. Sorry, no, insomnia is a vata dosha imbalance. But night sweats and hot flashes are pitta dosha imbalance. And I have found that when people follow more of a whole foods, plant-based way of living, their menopause symptoms seem to just disappear. For the pitta dosha, exercises that are really beneficial are similar to those of the vata dosha. Cooling, slower movements like yoga, but not hot yoga. That makes it worse. Yoga, meditation, aerobics, low impact, like what Antonetta and the boys teach, that is more beneficial. I forgot to tell you, for kapha dosha, the best exercise is high intensity or anything that really gets your heart rate going. All of the three doshas benefit from structure and routine because the body likes predictability. If currently your way of life is eating whenever you feel like it, sleeping whenever there's time, exercising whenever you can fit it in, that is a recipe for absolute chaos, because the circadian rhythm of the body is such that it has on and off switches. And the doshas fit in with that, or rather the circadian rhythm revolves around those three doshas. So every time of day is broken out into a different dosha. So for example, when you wake up in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m. is the kapha dosha. Heavy, sluggish, slow to get moving. We don't get up and out of bed and go right into a high intensity workout. Why? Because that's not what the body is looking for. That is contrary to the circadian rhythm of the body. When is a great time to do high intensity exercises? Between 12 and 2, when the Pitta dosha is in full strength. You want to have an animal-based protein for the day? Great. Do it during the Pitta dosha time between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. because that's when that fire element is strong, high energy, high strong digestion. Everything is happening during that time. The Vata dosha comes in into the evening time, afternoon from about 4 o'clock, which FYI, remember what I have said to you in the past about insulin. Why was it in P3 that I wanted you all to stop eating by 8 o'clock latest? Because the amount of insulin that is released for your body to absorb the glucose, the amount that's available at 8 p.m. at night is less than half than what is available at 12 o'clock. Why? Because different energy, different rhythm, different dosha. So if you are eating a heavy meal or a meal that is high in saturated fats, and it's after 5 o'clock, then the amount of insulin that is available for your body to process all that is much less than if you had that meal at lunchtime. Ayurveda is a huge topic. This is something that I could teach for months and months at a time. So for me to wrap it up in half an hour is a little bit hard. So the things that you want to remember about Ayurveda, if I don't get a chance to mention it again before we close for forever, unless you're in Feed Your Joy, then I talk about it all the time. The things to remember, do not combine fruits and vegetables. Food combining. Never, ever combine fruits and vegetables. They have different digestive enzymes and different properties, different tastes. There are 6 tastes in Ayurveda, and not all of them go together. Based on the dosha. Everything comes back to the doshas. Vata dosha likes a particular group, Pitta dosha likes another group, and Kapha dosha likes another. And when you start to mix and match and blend it all up, eventually, and you do that chronically, and then you add in lack of routine and you add in the experiences of life, then you're getting chronic inflammation. Jane asks, are migraines related to any one of the doshas? They are. I want to say at the moment it's the Vata dosha, but I don't remember. I could look it up for you if you put it into the Facebook group and mention my name. And so I see it, I could look it up for you and let you know. But I honestly can't remember. I do know, however, that for my girlfriend, the one who had the heart attack a couple of years ago, she had cluster migraines for 25 years. And I changed her diet completely to the P3 way of living. And she hasn't had a migraine since she's had the heart attack. So it's been 2 years now and she hasn't had a single migraine. It's either a Pitta dosha or a Vata dosha. I really don't remember. Anyhow, food combining. Never combine fruits and vegetables. When it comes to fruits, eat fruits that belong to the same family at the same time. So if you go somewhere and somebody offers you a fruit salad and it's got melons and strawberries and grapes and pineapple all in the same thing, you just say, no, thank you. Jane says, I find that eating very spicy food can lift a very bad migraine somewhat. Spicy food, chilies are vasodilators. So when somebody has a migraine, whatever may be causing it causes the capillaries to constrict. Chili food, so for example, caffeine. Caffeine is a vasoconstrictor. It makes the blood vessels smaller. So now you have this rush of blood coming through, but the vessel, the hose that it's supposed to go through has suddenly gotten smaller. So now there's pressure on the capillary because the same amount of blood has to go through and you get a headache. Spicy food or food with chilies are vasodilators. So the amount of blood that has to come through can easily pass through and relieve the headache. Same thing with why, if you have a headache or a migraine, if you take a bottle of ice water, a frozen bottle of water, and you put it right at the brain stem, it helps to relieve the pressure because it reduces the inflammation, which is the Pitta dosha, that's contributing towards the migraine. Whether or not migraines are caused by Pitta dosha or not, that I don't know, but I know inflammation is part of it. And if you put something cool, if it's acute inflammation, meaning it's happening right now, then you apply something cold to reduce the inflammation. If it's chronic inflammation, then there's another program for that. So yes, eat fruits that come from the same family. Never, ever, ever mix bananas and milk. No. Don't mix bananas and milk. Don't mix bananas and yogurt. If it's plant-based, you're safe. If you have animal-based, meaning dairy-based yogurt or milk, that is an absolute digestive disaster waiting to happen. Eat at specific times. Set yourself a schedule that allows your life to revolve around your eating, sleeping, and exercising. Not those things fit around life. You set your times and make your life revolve around that in the best way possible. If you set your breakfast for 9 and your lunch at 12 and your dinner at 6, but today you end up having breakfast at 10, you had lunch at 1, you have dinner at 7, that's fine. But skipping meals, if you want to do intermittent fasting and that's working for you, great. It's not a one size fits all. Intermittent fasting is an Ayurvedic practice. And it was never, ever meant to be a one size fits all because everybody's dosha is different. So intermittent fasting works great for people like me who are kapha dosha, but it's horrible for people who are vata dosha because they burn up, and for pitta dosha, they burn up everything so quickly. So if intermittent fasting is working for you and you're receiving, you find benefits from it, great, do it. But don't force yourself to do something and then you realize you're not gaining any benefits and then keep spinning that wheel. There's nothing wrong with having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make breakfast a small, easy to digest meal, which is why I always recommend it to you to start your day with fruit and flax, then move on to something a little bit more heavy. Remember to make lunch your most robust meal of the day. And dinner a lighter version. Always keep salads, raw salads, at lunchtime. Don't have them in the evening. Don't start your day with salads. Start your day with cooked foods, unless it's fruit. I mean, unless it's just like you pick up an apple and eat it, and end your day with cooked foods because the circadian rhythm of your digestion is weak in the morning and weak in the evening time. How are you going to remember that? Remember the flow of the sun. Ayurveda says that digestion works with the sun. It's weak in the morning, strong at midday, and then weak again in the evening. So you could set your meals based on that pattern. Remember to evacuate your bowels in the morning. Force your body, train your body to do that. Become a poop master. Those are the main things that I wanted to share with you about Ayurveda. For those of you who are in Feed Your Joy, we've had several classes on the doshas and Ayurveda, and we'll continue to do that. For those of you who may want to join Feed Your Joy, you're more than welcome. It is $20 a month. It's actually cheaper than P3, and you get recipes, you get cooking classes. We have a community. We have a very strong, committed community in Feed Your Joy. You will always learn something. I teach once a week. Right now, the classes are during the day, but when P3 closes at the end of April, then starting in May, I'll move the classes to the evening time so people can participate, more people can join in the community. In the meantime, between now and then, you can always find me on the P3 Facebook group. And as long as you mention my name, I will show up because then I'll see it, I'll get tagged, and I'll be able to answer you. And if you choose not to join Feed Your Joy after P3 closes, If you follow me on Keys Kitchen, you can just toss me a message on my Keys Kitchen Facebook page and I will always answer you. Marianne says, I've never tried fasting. If I get busy and lose track of time and end up missing lunch by mistake or have it or I'll have it super late, I notice I get a headache. Would this mean that I'm not a good person for fasting? No, it means you're really shitty at feeding yourself. That's what it means. It means you don't care about yourself enough, Marianne. You are doing the opposite of what I've been teaching. You are allowing life to run over you rather than you controlling life. Nobody gets too busy or loses track. It seems like we do, but it's really us not paying enough attention to ourselves. So moving forward, think about it this way. We have our dinner, let's say 5:30, 6, 7, 7:30 tonight, right? Then, so we're going to go right until, so let's say from 7:30 tonight to 7:30 tomorrow morning, that's 12 hours. So you've been fasting for those 12 hours. Awesome. That's great. Now you want to maybe do some exercise. So whatever remaining energy there is in you, that's going to get used up. And then you go straight to work, and now you're burning more energy. So now we're at least 16 hours when you haven't put any glucose into your body. But glucose is your brain and body's main source of energy, preferred source and main source. Where does glucose come from? It comes from whole plant-based foods. So now you're basically asking your body and brain to function on fumes because you have chosen not to fuel it. And there's nothing wrong with a 16-hour fast. It's not difficult, it's easy to do, and it works for a lot of people, including myself. And it maybe works for you too, but you have to at least drink your teas, at least drink your waters, and then you cannot skip meals. When you're doing intermittent fasting, you cannot skip. Yes, you'll be skipping breakfast. You could either skip breakfast or you can skip dinner when you're doing intermittent fasting. Meaning, if your body responds well to having breakfast, then you have your breakfast at 8 or 9, whatever, and then you have like a light snack maybe around 5, and then that's it. Then your fast begins from that point, and you get 16 hours. Or what most people do is they skip breakfast and their first meal is at 11, 12, 12:30, something like that. You have to figure out which one works best for you. For people who have hypothyroidism and for people who have high cortisol, skipping breakfast is not good. It sends the body into fight or flight and it causes the body to panic and think that something is wrong. So then more cortisol gets released. So then any insulin that's being used for food is being inhibited. So it causes you to put on weight. So it depends. That's why I say that fasting is not a one size fits all. Lorna says, if I can't eat breakfast, I'm an absolute medicine cranky. Start your day with fruit. You can never, ever go wrong with starting your day with fruit. My mom, on the other hand, I can easily skip breakfast. My first meal of the day is around 11 o'clock because I'm busy drinking my teas and my water and my drink and drink and drink. So by the time I get around to eating, it's about 11 o'clock. My mom, on the other hand, if you try to give her breakfast, she will just vomit. She's a Vata dosha 100%. She's a very tiny, tiny little slender person. And she cannot eat at all. Like she physically cannot digest the food before 11:30. She gets so angry at me if I tell her I have to pick her up at 10 o'clock to go somewhere. You mean I have to get up early and I have to eat something before 11? Oh my God. And she goes on and on and on. So you need to figure out what works for you. And then do that. Not what the trend is, not what everybody else is doing. It is selective, subjective, and personal. Food is actually a very personal thing when we're talking about it from a healing point of view. What works for me, the rhythms and foods that more, the rhythms are different. The food is 99.9% of the time straight across the board, best for everybody, equal across the board for everybody. It's the rhythms. Everybody's rhythm is different because everybody's energies are different. So figure out the one that works best for you and then move forward with it, whatever that may be. But as I said, you can always find me in Feed Your Joy if you join it. You can always find me on Key's Kitchen, and you could find me at on Instagram as well. If you follow my stories, I post free shit every single day of my life. There's free things to learn from me all the time. And if you want to, I do have a cancer course coming up on cancer nutrition starting in May. There is a P3 code available. I think they've posted it in the group already. And if they haven't, I will do it myself for you. But there is a discount code for P3. And I also offer private coaching. So for people who are finding it challenging to free themselves of whatever ailment they may have, whether it's diabetes or IBS or whatever is going on, I do private coaching as well. So you could always find me there. I'm always available to you is what I'm trying to say. You can find me in a million different places, and I will always be available for you, whether I am here in P3 or not. But I will, because we have created this relationship together, I'll always be here for you. Does anybody have any questions pertaining to today's class on Ayurveda? We're all good? Awesome, possum. Well, I'm going to end the recording, and that's going to be all she wrote for today. Have a good night.